You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
All right, Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm not Scott.
And I am not John.
Episode 124, Scott.
That's right, John. 124.
124.
Coming at you.
Coming at you hard and heavy.
So we had a couple of notable events over the past week.
Notable.
One was a gig. We had a gig at the Beacon Tap.
Yeah.
And the other is Easter.
It was a good gig, man, wasn't it?
It was a great gig.
Great fucking gig.
Whatever you guys did to the sound, the PA, the sound on the stage was the best
I
ever.
I kept it simple. I finally told Rick, we're not going to do it the other way. Let's do it this way. I got an idea.
It worked out beautifully.
And it worked great. We just dumped the crossover, ran full range to the subs, man.
Nice.
Nice is right. Sounded good. It was loud, heavy.
Good on stage, good for the crowd.
Yeah.
We had, somebody was having a birthday party there.
Yeah.
But then their kid got sick, so they canceled the party. Why would you do that?
What's up with that?
Why not just let people show up?
I don't know. It's crazy.
But still, it was a large crowd that stayed the whole night. I'm telling you, John.
Yeah.
Once they hear us, they can't leave.
They can't go home. It's just insane.
They can't do it.
They're
except
like,
for your wife and special ed.
Yeah.
And
well, kids.
Special,
you know.
K. Oh, yeah, babysitters.
Yeah.
Shit like that, yeah.
It's costing more and more money to play gigs, man.
If you do the cost-benefit analysis, you're actually losing money. Right, right. Yeah, when did they start charging us drinks?
I don't know, man.
Because his 40
it's a
bucks.
Write-off.
I had to borrow 10 from Tony, so I spent 50. You spent 50. You know how much Rick spent? Zero.
Zero.
That's how much he spent. And then you're giving me a hard time afterwards.
No, because you're not putting it in perspective, man. The guy loaded that whole van and unloaded it all by himself.
We offered to help him.
And
he said no. Come on, his neighbors come over and help.
Yeah, right.
There's no way Rick can pick some of that shit up
by
himself.
Yeah, he picks it up, man. He's a strapping boy, man. Besides, all that equipment is his.
Right.
We
so
have
he doesn't
no
want
equipment.
Us messing with it anyway.
We have no equipment.
Well, I just have one thing I have to roll in. It's got a... what do I got? I got a 4x10 cabinet on wheels. And
well,
then
I
throw a 4x12 on top of that and an amp.
Yeah, we definitely need to put wheels on everything.
And I just roll that thing in.
No more of this fucking no-wheel shit.
Oh, right on. Not even everything, just half of it. And then you can throw
so
the other
stuff
on top.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still getting over this cold, man.
Yeah, so's my wife. It's brutal. I never got it. Knock on wood.
Knock on your head.
You got it. My kids got it.
Yeah.
The wife, Rick, got it.
It's insane. Twice. I got it twice. He got it twice. Everybody got it.
Maybe I'm just carrying it and giving it to you again and again.
Yeah, that could be. I haven't, you know, I haven't watched a freaking movie in I don't know how long. Oh,
well,
yeah, Phil was there, by the way.
Yes, Phil. Not Phil the newsman.
No.
Phil, the former bass player
of
the Kangaroo Court, who is now in Gene Yass.
Yes.
And I talked to those guys, Phil and Brian. Hey, when you guys going to come in? We can jam live on the show, on the podcast. Oh, yeah. Marty, I don't, you know, we don't know.
We don't know where he is.
We don't know
where
he is.
I think he's in Iraq.
Might be in Iraq. We haven't heard.
He's in someone's crack. What's this? Are you doing the dub yet? Or? What's that?
So Marty is AWOL.
Yeah. Don't know where he is. Can't find him.
Well, maybe they could just send over some MP3s or something.
The Bush apologist.
That we can play.
Marty.
Do they do any recording?
Yeah.
Genius.
Don't they got a website or something?
Now, we had to cancel one of our gigs because of Rick's pneumonia. And didn't you offer them the slot?
Yeah.
And they turned you down?
They said they could do it, but they said they could do it, but what was the deal? I forget.
They can only do half a set?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, genius. Didn't we play some of their shit on the show?
I don't remember playing their shit. You know, you may have. You know who else we got to look up is Kevin Burns, the great Kevin Burns from your old band Catheter. He's down in Texas doing some acoustic stuff at Starbucks or something from what I hear. But we also got to pull the Kevin Burns clip of his foretelling the future and his disdain of Britney Spears.
Right.
And this is when Britney Spears was hot.
Yeah.
But he saw through all that.
He said she was a mongoloid or something.
Yeah. Down syndrome.
Right.
That's what she had. That's what he said.
Right. It was a mongoloid. Down syndrome. Isn't that the same?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know. Here's a genius tune.
Is this a tune or a podcast?
Oh, God.
Shouldn't they tune their guitar before they play?
So, yeah, we'd like to have them on the show.
See what if we can find Marty, if he's still back in the W and who he's going to vote for.
Right, right.
Is he a McCain guy?
This is the difference between their sound and our sound. Ready?
Okay. Come on. Play us. Don't play Judas Priest, man.
No, this is us, man. This is just rehearsal, man.
Not really a fair comparison. Theirs is an original.
A cover. I'm sorry. You're right.
Now, if you played this and then you played Navigator, maybe we could have a conversation.
What's wrong with Navigator?
Nothing's wrong with it. I'm just saying it's an original. That's all I'm saying.
What are you saying?
So, and then we can compare apples and apples. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't. I don't understand. What are you saying? Are you saying there's something wrong with my Navigator song?
No, I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is if they had a cover song, then we can play that cover song. But they provided an original, you see. So then if we were to, grab Navigator just as an example, that's an original song. And then we can compare the two recordings more succinctly.
I don't know where that song is. What is it called? The Navigator?
I don't know. The Flight of the Navigator?
The Navigator. What's his course of dreams? Hey, it's a long time ago I recorded that, all right, man?
Right on.
All right?
Old four-track days, probably, right?
Right, yeah. Right. All by myself. I didn't have no band backing me up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a different sense, so we can't compare that
that's
one.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
That's right.
Where is that song? the navigator.
I don't know. All right, then, John. So we did pretty well there Saturday overall. I still can't nail Rick down on a set list. It's impossible. I do have the ability to shout stuff at him, and he either goes ahead and plays it or he tells me to shut the fuck up.
Right.
So Ron, afterwards, the manager came over, and we are now additionally booked for July 3rd. Which
right.
is a Thursday night, and I will update the website appropriately, John. Thursday night, July 3rd.
July 3rd.
At the Beacon Tap. The Beacon.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, man.
How come?
Well, you know, I got my, we got some implementation going on at work, you know, one of those implementations.
Right, right, with the customizations,
yeah, customization.
And the integration and the migration.
Right, right, right.
Right. Well, how do you know you're even going to have a job by then? Is what I,
you know, oh, man!
If you're sure that you're going to have a job, then I have an excuse not to do the July 3rd gig. So I can say, yeah, I can't do it.
What's your excuse?
I'd take vacation. I go out of town.
Where? What are you just going to go up north?
Yeah, up north.
Up north?
Up north. And in Great North Woods.
Nice. That's great, man. Yeah, I told you, man. Every time we have a weekend or something, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, I don't know if I can do that. No.
I got all the weekends for the entire summer plotted out.
I don't know.
I'll be able to turn an answer around in 5 minutes. I just got to call the wife. She's got to look at the calendar and say it's a go or no go.
Nice.
Or I could be proactive and I could give you the list of all the weekends that I'm out.
Yeah, that'd be better. That'd be better.
Better.
Because we had to deal with you to get the
Arlington gigs.
Arlington
right.
gigs. Yeah. Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah. Deal with me.
Yeah. Deal with you, fucking guy.
That's only because my daughter's going to camp in North Carolina, so we had to work around that schedule. That's all.
Put her on the bus, man.
Ah, can't do that. Can't do that. No way.
What's with the camp shit? Forget the camp. Do Camp Shagbark or something, or like in Meatballs, you know.
It's the same deal, except it's in North Carolina. Yeah.
Well, why is it so far away, man?
I don't know.
There's camp.
It's the one that she,
there's
my wife
and how day camp down the street.
No. This is like we send her away for 3 weeks.
Oh, poor kid. She like it?
She loves it.
Yeah, right. You want to go to camp? No! No,
she's
it'll be
coming
good
around.
For you. It'll
yeah.
be, she's coming around. No. I know how they are, man. I didn't like going to camp either.
Oh, I would have loved going to camp.
I called my mom. I'm like, come and pick me up, man. This is stupid. Yeah, it's no fun.
I didn't feel that way.
When you went to camp?
Yeah, not at all. I
you went to
camp.
And How Day Camp. You were
yeah.
with the same kids you went to school with.
No.
It's different.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interestingly, my
you went with Deeb.
My wife went to the same day camp,
you
so we
Deeb.
Knew each other in second grade.
And Deeb.
Deeb was there, too.
Deeb. You've just called Deeb.
But we had overnighters at And How. That's where I learned to swim, man.
Yeah.
That's a valuable
Where'd
life
you
skill.
Swim at?
Main West.
I taught a kid how to hold his breath. Black kid at camp.
Yeah.
He couldn't swim. And he fell off the pier.
Yeah.
And everybody's yelling at me to jump in and get him. I'm like, no, I got clothes on, man. I'm not going in there.
Right.
Saw these counselors jump in. And he was hugging the pier underneath.
Underneath the water?
Underneath the water. And one of the counselors almost drowned. They finally got him out, and they did that thing, you know, where they push on the stomach.
Right.
Spit out some water.
Right.
And then he credited me for saving his life.
Nice.
And I didn't do anything. I go, dude,
I'm not jumping in.
It's exactly what I said. And he goes, no. If I didn't hold my breath, I held my breath, man, because you taught me how to do that. If I didn't, I would have been breathing water.
A couple of memories it brings back for me. Deirdre, you know Deirdre.
Yeah.
We were at a pool, and she jumped in and saved a kid.
Nice.
Lifeguards didn't notice her nothing.
Wow.
Can't remember if she had her clothes on or her bathing suit.
I think
she may have had her clothes on.
She's like a guardian angel, man. She with kids. There's something with her and her mom and her sister and kids. They really have this unbelievable skill. You ever seen her mom, how the kids follow her around like she's the Pied Piper?
Yes.
They just follow her. Your kids show up somewhere, and they see her, and they just gravitate right to her.
The other memory I have is Michael Jordan. There's even no argument. You know, usually I say arguably, but no. He is the greatest NBA player that has ever laced up some sneakers. Six championships for the Bulls. He retired 3 years in between there, in between championships. I don't know why. Tried to play baseball. But
he was ducking the he was serving a suspension, dude.
For gambling?
Yeah.
Like an informal
thing?
Yeah. That's the conspiracy theory.
That's true.
But at some newscast, when Jordan hurt his ankle was hurt. This may have even been
what
in his.
What the hell is that?
I have no idea.
All right.
May have even been his rookie year when he his second year when he had the stress fracture.
Yeah.
So he's rehabilitating from the stress fracture, and when they do that, they work in a pool. So he's just running in a pool back and forth.
Right.
So they do this news thing, and they show him in a pool running, and then they show him attempting to swim. And now, arguably, the greatest athlete ever to live, and then I have to watch him struggle to swim. It was so disappointing.
Well,
I should have called him right then and said, you know, I'm going to teach you how to swim, because that's so goddamn embarrassing, what you were doing in the pool. I don't know what that was, but my hero, Michael Jordan, can't swim.
Well,
to save his life.
Black people are pretty dense.
Understand.
You know,
I understand all that.
Bone density, so they're heavy.
I get that. But it looked like, as great as he was as a basketball player, do the exact opposite when he attempts to swim. I mean, it was the most uncoordinated. It was just awful. Just really awful.
Yeah.
It may have been the first time he even attempted to swim, for all I know.
Jocking? Come on!
I don't think they needed to show that on the news.
I think so, for comic effect, comedic effect.
Apparently he almost drowned when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And one of his friends saved him, and since then he never went in the water. So maybe it was his first time attempting to swim, but it was really,
agonizing.
Really hard. It was agonizing.
Yeah.
I could.
I got to see if it's on YouTube.
It might be.
Stroking
I don't know.
Stroking away.
It's just awful. You know, the other thing is when they beat Georgetown when Jordan was a freshman.
Yeah.
And this probably is on YouTube, and we can grab it for next show. They go to interview him. He hits what turns out to be the game-winning shot. And they go to interview him as a freshman at North Carolina. And he is almost impossible to understand. I don't know if it was the way he's so excited, or he really couldn't talk.
What do you mean? Like, hell no,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. It's like that. So whoever he surrounded himself with, I think he really worked hard on his speech and his language, because the freshman Michael Jordan, who they interview, doesn't resemble the Michael Jordan that we knew, came to know after he joined the Bulls.
Right. The Bulls.
The Bulls.
You ever listen to, what's his, Magic Johnson?
Oh, yeah.
Doing the Bulls.
He had a TV show, man. Magic Johnson. That was the greatest TV show ever. You remember that?
No.
It was like a talk show, like The Tonight Show with Magic Johnson. You've never seen that show?
I've never seen that.
Oh, that was the greatest show ever.
The Bulls.
He would destroy the English language worse than the W every night.
Really?
Worse than we do. And the W combined.
Now, when you're watching the Bulls and Micah.
The Micah. Bulls. Oh, speaking of Anna, big Jordan fan, Anna.
Yeah.
So all you got to do is say that. Next time you see her,
yeah,
tell her that Magic Johnson, you know, now that I think about it, Magic Johnson was a better basketball player.
Oh, are you crazy? I don't want to get my ass kicked. She's skinny, but she's tough.
That always used to send her through the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She say the F word?
No, she never cussed ever.
Nah, I never heard her ever cuss.
Mm-mm.
No. So...
How was your Easter there, Johnny?
Oh, it was great.
Yeah? Yeah. Well, we had the gig.
Yeah, we went for brunch, and my parents were like 45 minutes late. So we're at a restaurant waiting for them to show up. That was great.
Well, with the gig ended at, or we packed up and we got out of there about, what, 3 o'clock?
Yeah.
So I get home, got to let the dogs out. So I get to bed about 4. And then we have a new dog that every morning at 7 decides he's going to tell us it's time to get up. You know what I'm saying? And at 7 o'clock, I would think somebody would go let the dog out. No.
Right.
They just let him whine and holler for a half an hour. So now
whine
I'm up.
And holler.
I'm up. I can't go back to sleep. I get the dogs out. So I've had like 3 hours of sleep. And then I have to do the brunch thing. Go over to the in-laws. Great time at the in-laws. They got that turkey, the ham, deviled eggs, wine. I had some wine.
Deviled eggs.
I had the Coke, you know, to try to wake me up. I asked for Coke.
Yeah.
And usually when I'm there, I drink wine.
You're
but
not
I
a Coke
asked
drinker.
For Coke, and they're like, what? What? I don't even know if we have Coke.
Coke?
But they did. They dragged some, you know, 15-year-old can of Coke out.
Dusted it off.
I got to drink some wine, and we chit-chatted, and then we left, and then I think, okay, now it's nap time. But no.
Yeah. No.
We have this great idea to go to see a movie, take the kids to a movie.
Movie.
So we went and saw Horton Hears a Who.
Horton Hears a Whore.
We did go to the Premier Theaters, though, over in Rosemont.
Nice.
With the nice big chairs, and I took your advice, and I was out.
I'm telling you.
Within the first 30 minutes, I was out
nice.
Cold. So the wife sees this, and I may have been snoring. So when my son, when he has to go to the bathroom, she sends him over to me. Of course. So he wakes me up, and then I got to take him to the bathroom, and then I can't get back to sleep.
Doesn't she know you don't bother the man when he's sleeping?
Oh, no. Not at all. That is not something she knows.
See, in my house, there's no bothering the man when he's sleeping. Or there's hell to pay. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that. Yeah, but I...
I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
I don't, you get your ass in trouble, man.
Right, right.
Probably mine, too. He's never allowed in here again.
I'm going to talk about some other movies later on, but Horton Hears a Who. You got Jim Carrey doing Horton. And we all know the story, right? And Steve Carell, is that his name, Carell?
Yeah.
He's the mayor of Whoville.
No, I don't know the story.
You don't know this? You've never read Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Seuss.
Say that three times
Horton
fast.
Hears a Who. Horton Hears a Who. Horton Hears a Who.
I shot the Sarah. I shot the Sarah.
Horton finds this little speck, and on the speck is another world.
Wow.
So he tries to protect this, and he gets ostracized by the community. And in this movie, Carol Burnett plays a evil kangaroo.
Oh, it's allegory of it's the cave allegory.
I guess so. I think Matrix is more
Matrix
that, but than this. But the one thing about this movie, Jim Carrey,
yeah,
his vocal performance was pretty consistent, but every once in a while he would slip into the cable guy when he was delivering his lines. You know how he kind of talked like, I can't even do it, but he talked like there was something wrong with him.
He's got a lisp.
Yeah. So that was kind of weird. And then the whole thing about this movie is the in Whoville, they even have emo kids in Whoville.
Oh.
So the mayor of Whoville has like 97 kids. One of them is an emo kid who ends up saving Whoville with his great idea.
An emo kid does?
Yeah, an emo kid. What kind of message is that sending?
I know.
Yeah, be an emo kid. That's what we want. We want you to sulk and moan and wear black clothes. And then let's give them a false sense of the future that they're going to.
They don't care about the
possibly
message,
save the world. Give me a break.
All they care about is the. That's it, man.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
The money.
The first 30, 45 minutes I was asleep, but then when I did wake up, you know, because I knew the story before I went in.
What's your fucking point?
And then the emo kid just pushed it over the top for me.
Did you ever get back to sleep?
No, I never did.
No.
So then
you called me.
Yeah, I did call you. Actually, okay. I left you a message on your cell phone, and you never got back to me, so I called your landline, and we spoke in person. And I suggested that we do it on...
You going through puberty?
On Monday night, which is tonight. We usually do it on Sunday night, but I asked if it would be okay that we did it on Monday night.
Nice.
So we are here on Monday night.
I could do it, but...
You got to do it well.
I'm tired. Really tired.
Yeah, I was really exhausted.
Exhausted.
All right, John, some miscellaneous stories. Miscellaneous?
Nice.
Get this.
Get it. I'm getting it.
Ayn Rand. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
As a college student in Chapel Hill, John Allison stumbled across a collection of essays by Ayn Rand and was hooked by her philosophy and self-interest and limited government. In the decades to come, he rose to chief executive of BB&T, one of the country's leading regional banks. He's trying to replicate that encounter through the charitable arm of his Winston-Salem-based company.
What's
so he's
the name?
Got BB&T.
No, the guy.
Oh, the guy's name is John Allison.
Oh.
So he's got $28 million, and he's going to give it away, right?
Yeah.
He decides he's going to give it to 27 colleges. But there's a requirement. There's a stipulation, John.
Yeah.
I'll give you $1 million, but you have to make Ayn Rand's novel, Atlas Shrugged, a course requirement.
Oh, Jesus.
Is that a goddamn joke?
Yeah.
Out of the 27 schools, how many turned him down?
None.
That's right. None.
None.
So how long before Pat Robertson, you know, gets wind of this?
Yeah.
And says, hey, I'll give you $2 million. All you got to do is make the Bible.
Right.
Required reading. What's going on, John? What is going on?
I don't know.
This one guy.
But that's cultish. That totally is opposite of what Ayn Rand was preaching.
I really know nothing about Ayn Rand except objectivism, and it's all about me and limited government. That's about it.
Right.
But why would she, why does this go against her wishes or philosophy?
What do you mean?
You just said this would go against, this goes against everything.
Well, the force to say, hey. You know, a tit for tat kind of thing. Here, I'm going to give you $1 million, but you got to make this book required reading.
Yeah, I think it's a complete joke. I mean, who's in charge of making these goddamn decisions?
Like you said about the Bible.
That'd
be next. Otherwise, you would be fine with it.
University of North Carolina, Charlotte. This guy says it's going to make us look. Okay, let me start over. It's going to make us look like a rinky-dink university. And this guy's the professor of religious studies, and he says that. Atlas Shrugged tells of an American. Boy, I'm really struggling, John. Atlas Shrugged tells of an America where the most gifted industrialists and creators go on strike. The book is 1,100 pages long. Showcases Rand's philosophy of objectivism, which says individuals have the right to live entirely for their own self-interest.
But that goes without saying. You don't need a fucking 1,100 pages.
I guess not. And Ayn Rand was. I am really struggling, John.
Ayn
was an atheist.
Yeah, that's true.
Until she passed away.
She was also deeply opposed to the philosophy of Kant.
Kant?
Is that how you say it? Kant?
Yeah, it's
Immanuel
not Kant.
Kant?
Yeah.
It's like Kant to
no,
me.
No, it's not Kant. It's Kant.
Kant.
It's not cunt. It's Kant.
Kant. Whatever.
Right. What did he say? He said, was he a Unitarian? Kant? If you want to steal a loaf of bread to feed your family, that's okay? Is that what he said?
The phenomenal world, said Kant, is not real. Reality as perceived by man's mind is a distortion. The distorting mechanism is man's conceptual faculty. Man's basic concepts, such as time, space, existence, are not derived from experience or reality, but come from an automatic system of filters in the consciousness, labeled categories and forms of perception.
Yeah, I don't know what he's saying about the second part, but the first part I totally agree with. He's saying that we all come with our own prejudices and our belief systems, and that is how we interpret or perceive the world, based on those belief systems. I'm all about that, man. I think he's right on.
Well, Rand believed to the contrary, Scott, that man can have full direct awareness of reality. And in Rand's view, Kant's dichotomy severed rationality and reason from the real world.
I can say some people can have that ability to do that, but the majority of population, they're a bunch of goddamn dopes.
Like me.
I come with a self, I already have a belief system in place, and what I perceive either falls into that system or I ignore it. So these things that I ignore are not part of my reality. So therefore, I do not have a full scope of the natural world, John. I'm being honest, of course.
Rand says, I have mentioned in many articles that Kant is the chief destroyer of the modern world. You will find that on every fundamental issue, Kant's philosophy is the exact opposite of objectivism. Suppose you met a twisted, tormented young man and discovered that he was brought up by a man-hating monster who worked systematically to paralyze his mind, destroy his self-confidence, obliterate his capacity for enjoyment, and undercut his every attempt to escape. Western civilization is in that young man's position. The monster is Immanuel Kant.
What does he have to do with destroying the young man? This Ayn Rand is a lunatic, if you ask me.
She is a lunatic.
She's one of these L. Ron Hubbards, in my opinion.
She cheated on her husband and hooked up with one of her understudies and banged the shit out of this guy. And asked
so
her
did
husband,
Frank Lloyd Wright.
Hold on. Said, hey, is it okay if I bang this guy? Oh, yeah, sure, go ahead. But then when the younger understudy started banging some other broad, she went on a fucking lunatic rampage.
Yeah, it's okay for me because I'm on Rand.
And I'm
serving, on rear end.
I'm serving the self.
Yeah, but if you serve yourself, yeah, now I'm going to get pissed.
Fuck you, I'm going to shoot you in the face with a bazooka. Yeah.
All right, other miscellaneous news, John. Basketball on office monitors, madness for business. A leading business consultant has predicted that CBS's online March Madness On Demand, in which it is streaming all 63 final college basketball games for free, will cost American business about $1.7 billion in lost productivity. I have no idea how they come up with this this figure. But have you watched any games online, John?
No.
I haven't. Who's watching games online?
Nobody.
Nobody's watching games online. I did watch one of the games over the weekend on TV, and it was a goddamn nightmare.
And how could it be? This is obviously businesses that don't know how to fucking run, first of all. You have requirements. You have goals. You have...
Right.
How can you possibly...
work to get done.
Yeah.
If you don't get it done, you're going to get your ass chewed
out.
Yeah,
you're done. You're out the door on your keister.
If you can get it done and watch stupid basketball on TV, I mean on the interwebs, then that's fine.
On the interwebs.
But I watched Memphis-Arkansas over the weekend. Because Memphis is number one team. Derrick Rose, freshman phenom from Illinois there,
yeah.
John.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching this game, and I got to tell you, it's almost, CBS has made basketball unwatchable.
Yeah.
And what we're talking about here, March Madness in the States is huge. 64
huge.
Of the top college teams play to decide who's the champion in college basketball. And so I'm watching this fucking game, and here's what CBS does now. In the past, you'd watch a game, and they'd call a timeout, and they would stay with the game, and they would show replay, and then the guys would talk about which way they think the momentum is going, and then they'd get back into the game. Not anymore.
No?
I swear there are more commercials actual... basketball.
Yeah,
that is one big pile of shit.
In a 90-minute span of time that I watched a game, which is two 20-minute halves, so that's 40 minutes of basketball, the other 50 minutes was commercials.
I know, and it's the same companies that are crying that they're not being productive enough because consumers are watching the basketball and the commercials.
And they're watching more commercials.
So they're watching more commercials, which is exactly what you want consumers to do, but they're bitching at the same time that those people are watching the basketball.
It was unbelievable. I'm not even going to watch anymore. I've had it. The only way you can really watch is if you go to a sports bar where they have
right.
20 the screens with
yeah.
different games.
Right.
So when... something happens, like if they call a timeout, anything. If there was a foul and it took the players a while to walk down to the other end of the court to shoot a free throw, they would cut to a goddamn commercial.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Unbe-fucking-lievable.
There's no instant. You see a great play and you're like, okay, I want to see that instant replay from a different angle. Slow motion. Nothing. None of that.
Nothing.
You get to see a Taco Bell commercial or some shit like that.
Yeah.
It was infuriating, John.
You motherfucker.
What does the FCC do something about that? No. They're going to get pissed off because somebody says tit.
No, they show one. Didn't say it. They showed it.
So, and I haven't watched basketball in a long time. And so I watch it, and I'm just so goddamn disgusted. I'm not going to watch it again. I'm just going to watch the news at night. And on Monday night when they have the final game in a couple of weeks, maybe I'll watch that. If it's on CBS, I don't know. I better see an instant replay.
Or else.
Or I'm going to be pissed. All right, John. You got any miscellaneous?
Miscellaneous?
I'm going to turn to celebrity news. Our first story in celebrity news, Oprah Winfrey, now weighs more than I do.
So?
246 pounds.
Obama is a Mac Daddy.
Oprah's checking
Obama
in at.
Obama pimps white women and black women.
Come on, there's really no excuse
for
that.
He got started.
I can't stop. I can shut it off.
No,
man.
I'm talking about Oprah weighing 246 pounds. This woman's got more money than anybody. She can hire whoever. She can hire somebody to cook meals for her, be at her beck and call 24/7. She can hire personal trainers.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for 246 pounds. Come on, Oprah. Get your shit together, okay?
Man, she's like 90 pounds away from me, I think.
Well, maybe
I'm like 330.
In the future, we'll report that she's heavier than you. Who knows?
How much do you weigh?
246 pounds.
That's how much you weigh?
No, that's more than I weigh.
What do you weigh, man?
I'm checking in at 235, man.
Oh. Wow.
And by the end of
slimming
the summer,
down.
I'll be down to 215.
You were like at 250 or something, weren't you, when we were at the studio? You were bitching about your jeans not being able to button.
Yeah, definitely.
Started crying.
I did. I broke down and cried about that. And I don't have the money for a personal trainer and a cook.
I got to lose weight so my dick looks bigger.
Well, that obviously is the main motivation there. And we've talked about that.
Come on! Who docks?
The less that we weigh, proportionally, the bigger our lower unit will be.
It doesn't matter anymore, you know, does it?
I think it does. Definitely. Definitely does.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
All right, moving on in celebrity news, Sarah Jessica Parker.
Horseface.
Who is one of the most adored actresses, followed her stint as the affable Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City, has spoken out about the impact. I don't know if you've heard this, John. The impact of a Maxim magazine poll result. What the result had on her and her husband, Matthew Broderick.
What's that?
Also, Ferris Bueller. He was in Ferris Bueller.
Bueller.
Parker, 43, has had a hard time dealing with the news that men do not find her as attractive as advertisers do, claiming the results of a Maxim poll was brutal and also affected her husband. Parker told somebody, what Maxim did is they voted her the unsexiest woman in the world.
Really?
So Parker told somebody, do I have fake boobs, Botox, big lips? No. Do I fit some ideals and standards of some men writing in a men's magazine? Maybe not. Am I really the unsexiest woman in the world? Wow. It's so brutal in a way, so filled with rage and anger. It upset my pussy husband. I included that.
Oh.
Matthew Broderick.
You got a dick.
Because it has to do with his judgment, too. It's condemnation. It's insane. What can I do? I guess you can't please all people. So she can get upset. I mean, celebrities and actresses, they're all about egos, right? I mean, you have to have a huge ego to even be in the business.
Dennis, open your mouth.
Yeah.
Is that a correct assumption there, John?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can see how she's upset. But why is Matthew Broderick upset? What's wrong with this big pussy? Huh?
Fucking dick!
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless he's gay, you know, gay people would care about that, wouldn't they?
I'd say.
Dude, listen.
Shut up!
They're into fashion and stuff, and maybe he's offended by that.
Maybe he
is the one that dresses her and sends her out. Who knows? I don't know. And tell me this, John.
What?
How can she possibly get unsexiest woman in the world with Amy Winehouse running around? Can somebody tell me that?
Huh? Yeah, no doubt, man.
Have you ever seen that woman, Amy Winehouse?
Yeah, she's
shut up.
Yeah, she's like 22 or 23.
Yeah.
And she Sarah looks like Jessica blows 80. Her away.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
So I don't know what these... who's voting on this Maxim magazine poll? You think it's about 13-year-olds or what?
It could be, man. Could be.
We'll have to track that down and see who came in second. Because I don't think Sarah Jessica should even be considered, in my opinion.
No doubt.
And we talked about her with that movie she was in with Steve Martin.
She
L.A.
was hot
Story.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. No doubt.
All right, moving on. Let's talk a little bit about movies. Here's one that I'm sure I would fucking hate, but I haven't seen it, and I don't plan on it.
Tet anus.
this.
Drill Bit Taylor. Have you heard
of this
movie?
I think that's what sent him to cut his wrist, man, after he saw the premiere.
This was made before his suicide attempt, so you may be right, John.
Yeah, it was before,
You may be right. Drill Bit Taylor, Owen Wilson, Judd Apatow, and Seth Rogen. So these are the guys that gave us Superbad.
Yeah.
And what was the one where the chick got pregnant?
Knocked Up.
Knocked Up, I thought, was a great movie. Superbad, I thought, was a shitty movie.
No, that Superbad was great.
Oh, come on.
How could you not like that movie?
It was dumb.
It's because your wife didn't like it.
No,
yeah.
She fell asleep 20 minutes in.
I can't believe
I stayed
like
up to see
Let's
the greatness.
Watch that movie, man.
I stayed up to see the greatness, and it didn't happen.
You are full of shit.
I am
that
not.
That movie was the best.
And
it
here,
was the bomb.
Again, they're proving that it was a one-hit wonder, that pregnancy one. Knocked Up.
Oh, come on.
Because this, all the reviews for this one are horrible.
So everybody has a bad movie from time to time.
One of the reviews I pulled out, the guy says, after reading a summary
Even
of Owen's
catheter movie.
Next project, hey, man, Marley and Me is Owen Wilson's, Owen Wilson's next project. An adaptation of a best-selling book about a couple that adopts a dog to give parenthood a trial run, then finds the Misevich pooch more than they bargained for. Makes me want to send him on a vision quest. Did this smart, handsome, talented man really go to hell and back just to make a romantic comedy with a dog?
With a dog.
Right on. Somebody's got to get in front of Owen Wilson's career there. What is he doing?
I don't know.
I mean,
that's
the Jackie
so
Chan
depressed.
Movie was great. Now he's making movies with Seth Rogen that
the Jackie
sucked.
Jackie Chan movie.
And a romantic comedy with a
Chan
dog.
Movie.
Shanghai Noon.
That wasn't that good.
That was a great movie.
You are oh my God. You're an idiot, man. I can't talk to you anymore. Superbad was terrible,
yeah,
but
Shanghai Noon is better than Superbad.
Yeah, get out of here.
You get out of here. I know what I'm talking about.
Shit.
Jackie Chan has more talent in his pinky.
Yeah, he's a karate expert.
Than any of those guys in Superbad.
No.
Yeah.
No, man. No. I'm afraid not.
I'm afraid so.
No.
All right, John, here's another movie I saw. This is a 8.1. You want to take a break?
Should we take a break first?
Let me get through this last movie, then we're going to get into science news.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about the movie.
Which movie?
The Ben Stein movie.
No, that'll be... I have one more movie to talk about. We'll take a break, and then we'll talk about this dumbass Ben Stein movie, which I haven't seen. But we're going to talk about that movie regardless. This one, IMDb, 8.1 out of 10. It is number 183 of all time on IMDb. American Gangster, made in 2007 with Denzel Washington and Russell Crowe. Oh, you know who else is in it?
Who? Oh.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy from Serenity.
Right.
I'm the police!
So Isaiah Thomas, the NBA basketball player, when he's acting, he changes his name to Chiwetel Ejiofor. Chiwetel Ejiofor. Ejiofor. Ejiofor.
Yeah, oh shit, huh? Huh?
So what this movie is, 1970s America, a detective works to bring down the drug empire of Frank Lucas, a heroin kingpin from Manhattan, who is smuggling the drug into the country from the Far East. So what Denzel does is he just cuts out the middleman, right?
Yeah.
And at some point, he's got the Italians working for him.
Yeah.
Not your fucking nuts out. Use them
Have you seen this movie, John?
Yeah.
You did?
Oh, no. I didn't see that. I'm thinking about the cop one where he's a bad cop.
Oh, right.
Sorry.
With
Training Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is not Training Day. This is American Gangster.
Because I'm clicking on the soundboard. Yeah, I saw that.
I'm the zigzag, man. Who the fuck are you?
Oh, also Josh Brolin's in it. So what happens is Russell Crowe plays this detective, right? And very early on,
what?
He runs across like 100 G's cash.
Yeah.
100K in cash. And he doesn't keep it. His partner's like, hey, man, we got to split it up. We got to keep this. No. We got to turn it in. We can't turn it in. Nobody on the force is going to trust us if we turn it in.
Yeah.
Which I was just shocked by. But that's definitely what happens. So they turn this money in. And the rest of the police force was like, "Who? What the fuck? I can't trust this motherfucker anymore.
There's no rules.
To break the rules when I'm on the job?
And that's the truth.
So he gets ostracized from the NYPD. But because of this, he earns a reputation for his ethics. And so then he gets put on this special task force of drug agents.
Don't be ridiculous.
Right?
Yeah.
So they put a team together. He's working with these guys. And Frank Lucas, he's a smart guy, right? But the other problem I had with the movie is Denzel Washington, he carries this, just walking into the role, he carries this intelligence, right?
Yeah.
But the guy's making money destroying the community. He's making money on heroin and at the same time destroying the community.
Yeah.
And they never address that in the movie.
Stop whining.
Never address that. Which I thought was an issue.
Yeah,
they glorify it. Yeah, they glorified it. And there's this one scene, it was reminiscent of Scarface, where they're going up to the mansion, you know?
Yeah.
When Tony Montana finally gets the cash to get a mansion. He does the same thing, but he brings his mom. You know,
you idiot!
And the other thing is, when he turns successful, he brings all of his family into business. And these, they live down south. These are southern people. And they come up and they just kind of fit right in. That didn't make any sense to me at all. But one of the guys is portrayed by Isaiah Thomas, is his brother Huey. And Isaiah's a fucking great actor, man. Because he was a great assassin in Serenity. And then in this movie, he's like a second in command. I thought he did a great job. Yeah.
No doubt. I didn't see it. Was there some quality kills?
Nah, there's only really one quality kill, and it's shocking. The other interesting thing about Russell Crowe's character, the cop, he has ethics when it comes to money. He's not going to take this money for himself. We got to turn it in. That's my job. I'm a policeman. But he cheats on his wife. Goes through a divorce, cheating on the wife the whole goddamn time.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how his ethics apply to his job but not to his personal life. The one thing, nobody knows who Frank Lucas is. Nobody knows who he is. He's working entirely underground. And even tells his family. One time his brother comes in and he's wearing like a pimp suit. And he tells him, hey man, you can't wear that shit. The loudest one is the weakest one. I can't have weak links, man. You cannot draw attention to us.
Right.
And, like, the very next scene.
Because he used to, like, roll up in some bullshit car and watch the drug deals go down.
And nobody knows who this guy is. And then he hooks up with Miss Puerto Rico or something. And they're going to go to the Ali Frazier fight. And she surprises him right before the fight with this big pimp fur coat with a matching hat. And instead of just saying, no, I'm not going to wear that, he doesn't want to hurt her feelings because it's new. They're new to the relationship.
Right.
This thing costs like 60 G's. So he puts it on and he wears it. And he ends up sitting in the second row. So everybody's like, hey,
who is that
in the second? He's got better seats than I do. So now he's on everybody's radar. And then they go after him. They take him down.
Oh, see.
That's it, man. That's it.
He fucked up.
A couple of lines from the movie. Here's from one of the head Italians. I thought this was a good line. Success. It's got enemies, John. You can be successful and have enemies, or you can be unsuccessful and have friends. I thought that was a nice line.
We're pretty unsuccessful.
We must be. Because we got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
And then I think this sums up the whole movie right here. And it's what's really an interesting part of it. from Detective Richie Roberts, portrayed by Russell Crowe, says, John, and I quote, judges, lawyers, cops, politicians, they stop bringing dope into this country, about 100,000 people are going to be out of a job.
Yeah.
And that's
more than that.
Yeah.
Now.
That's the whole thing. And so it's ridiculous. We have this war on drugs where we spend billions of dollars. But at the same time, if hypothetically, if that were to come true and drugs were gone tomorrow, 500,000 people are going to be out of a goddamn job.
Who needs cops in the narcotics department?
Right.
Don't need them.
Well,
lay them off.
This Frank Lucas was paying everybody off. Everybody was on the payroll. It's unbelievable. So I'll bring that movie Thursday.
Nice.
Bring some movies for you to watch here, John. All right, I'm ready. Oh, Spiny Normans. I give this 3.5 out of 4 Spiny Normans,
nice.
John.
Nice.
American Gangster.
Gangster, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I got Vertigo queued up here from practice.
Vertigo from practice.
From practice on Thursday. Kangaroo Court.
Need a
doing
beer?
Vertigo. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nobody gets hurt.
Record doing Vertigo Thursday night, just before the big gig on Saturday. That was us practicing.
That's right, John.
E-drums, man. E-drums, baby.
E-drums.
With headphones. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it?
I think it sounds kick-ass, man.
It's all right.
It's all right.
For practice? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that bad note of Rick's at the end there?
I heard one at the beginning.
Feel.
Yeah, his voice cracked at the beginning, too.
Can't wait till he finds out we're playing this stuff. What the fuck?
Well, he even told Ron that, yeah, you know, my voice isn't all the way back yet. The doctor said 2 more weeks, you know. Like the doctor, he consults the doctor on that. Yeah, so, Doc, what about my voice, man?
Oh, Rick, it'll be 2 more weeks.
2 more weeks. I think the hell was that noise? What was that?
I don't know. It's like something revved up.
Did you fart, man?
No. Come on, man.
What was that? It was like...
My drink was lovely. And, how was your piss?
And your...
That was angry. I was angry then, wasn't
was
I?
Piss. Yeah. Nice. Hey, we got some comments.
Yeah? What did we get? From who? When?
Let's see what we got here. Actually, Paulie B gave us, he always gives us a comment right in the beginning of the month. Hello, lovely fellas. Here's your monthly votage from the most dedicated podcasters on the planet. I am incorrigible and irritating in equal measure. Oh, glory. This London fog has gone to my head. Paulie B. This is an old one, too. Episode 122. You motherfuckers! I could barely get through the Stephen Hawking time machine disaster in episode 121. The first 35 minutes were horrible. Once again, you guys put it together for a great finish to 121. And I think your best podcast since the summer break in episode 122. My worst movie was Dirty Dancing. Add it to the list. That's from Pat McGroin.
I couldn't disagree more with Pat McGroin. First of all, Dirty Dancing is an outstanding
Hold
movie.
Hold on, let me finish, okay?
And second of all, the song Stephen is Hawking was a tremendous boost to TTN. It was handled
okay, Ayn Rand,
very
relax.
Well.
This one's still as great as ever. I thoroughly enjoy listening to you two. I anxiously await every new podcast like an idiot. Keep them coming. Tony, that's Phil's brother.
Phil's brother, but he wasn't at the gig.
No. Holy shit, where's the Tylenol? You guys are still hilarious. And that's from Pissed BB.
Nice. You still nailed it.
Thank you so much.
Even with me interrupting, you still
nailed it. I'm a professional. I could be a jock.
A jock, man.
Yeah.
Jocking? Come on. Who docks?
No doubt.
Not a doc. A jock.
A jock.
All right, John. Let's turn to another movie that I haven't seen, but I know I would fucking hate. As a matter of fact, I would hate this movie so much it would be at the top of my list. I think it would replace Billy Madison as the most loathed movie that I have ever seen.
No.
But I will not see it unless somebody gives it to me for free. Then I'll watch it. I will not pay to see this movie. The movie I'm referring to, John, is coming out in April. It's called Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, and it's narrated by the great Ben Stein. It's directed by Nathan Frankowski. This is his first directorial. It's his directorial debut, if you will, John.
Yay.
So I started reading some shit about this movie, and I went out to... GodTube, and I actually pulled this off of GodTube. This is a clip of Pat Robertson and Ben Stein discussing this movie. And let's listen to these two mental midgets exchange ideas. Now, John, hold on, John. Feel free to stop this at any time that you want to make the comment. Because it's a long clip, but there are so many... egregious, stupid moments. Egregiously stupid moments that you can stop it at any time. If you fail to stop it, I will tell you to stop it because I will not let this stupidity go on.
Here's another.
Should I fillet it?
So this is Pat Robertson from the 700 Club.
Picture called Expelled, and you traipse all over the world in search of the answer. Is this something in your heart? I mean, you weren't just an actor in this
movie. No. It's very much in my heart. I've always questioned Darwinism, because Darwinism leads to social Darwinism, the belief that some races are superior to other races, and that the superior races have it as their moral duty to eliminate the lesser races. Mm-hmm. And that means my fellow Jews and, of course, African Americans, Indians, Aborigines, just kill them. They're worthless. The only people who count are the master race, like the Germans or the Danes. And there could have been no Holocaust without Darwinism. That's my view. So I've always had my suspicions about Darwinism.
Oh, Jesus.
But Darwinism explains so little. It doesn't explain
how... You can stop it whenever you want.
That is so fucking ridiculous. Darwinism doesn't preach... genocide.
It doesn't. And I don't know where social Darwinism, I don't even know where that comes from. When Charles Darwin sat down and he came up with this, he's strictly talking biological. He's trying to come up with why...
Natural selection. It's not natural to just gun people down.
Right. And to make that link is so nauseating to me. It's like saying, you know, John... Reproductive sex leads to bukkake porn and sex slaves. It doesn't. Twisted people lead to sex slaves and the sex industry. It has not. And if the thing is, what he's saying here, and if we could test this, maybe we can come up with a way to test this on our time machine. If we go back,
what the fuck was that again?
And we take away Darwin. Let's say Darwin never existed. What Ben Stein is saying. As if Darwin never existed, Hitler and the Holocaust would have never happened. Is that a dirty pot?
I don't know what that is, man. We got a weird thing going on. Yeah, it might be.
It's the same goddamn argument these people use with video games. Like, violence didn't occur before video games. We might have to stop. I mean, this is serious shit, man. I am passionate about ripping Ben Stein's a new a-hole, John, over his stupidity.
Check.
It's only on your mic.
It's only on my mic.
I don't know what it is. It's something.
Go ahead.
Just keep going. It's fine.
All right. Where was it?
Distracted.
So he's saying, Ben Stein is saying Darwin was the reason Hitler exterminated the Jews.
Yeah.
I mean, how goddamn dumb is that?
Yeah.
The cause, Darwin, effect, exterminating the Jews. That's goddamn ridiculous.
Right.
Everybody knows that what sent Hitler over the edge was Donkey Kong anyway.
Right.
So what are they even talking about, stupid asses? Yeah, I can't work under these conditions. I really can't. Can you plug me into a different pot?
I don't know what it is, man. Keep talking.
What am I going to talk about? What do you want me to talk about?
I don't know. Are you usually that?
You can't even. There.
Yeah, fix your microphone, would you?
Well, I didn't touch anything.
It's your cord.
It's my cord?
Yeah.
It's not my cord. It's your cord. It says Scott on it. Is that making my cord?
Oh, yeah, maybe we got a dirty button. Yeah, that social Darwinism is just some theory or whatever.
Theory?
Yeah, I guess whatever the hell you call it. Well, I guess it is a theory, but they called it social Darwinism. It has nothing to do with Darwinism.
Throughout history, people are going to twist ideas to their own benefit.
It's basically social evolution.
I don't know what Darwin had to do with that.
Nothing.
He was talking on a biological level.
Right.
Here's what I think happens. Goddamn dopes.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and play the rest.
Oh.
Life began. Mm-hmm. It doesn't explain how gravity works to keep the planets
in
their orbit.
Stop it. Stop it. Okay, so here's his stupidity is just shining for all of us to see, John. Darwin doesn't explain how gravity works.
Okay.
Was it supposed to? Again,
no, I know.
Darwin gave a theory for the evolution of species. We're talking about biology. We're not talking about how the planets work, how gravity works. Newton gave us that. Einstein then tore Newton's foundation apart and gave us general relativity. It has nothing to do with Darwin. Dumbass. Go ahead.
Let's explain how thermodynamics works. It doesn't explain how physics or the laws of motion work. And, you know, I saw that scientist you had up on the TV before I came on who said it's been tested and retested. Yeah, yeah. No one has ever observed the evolution of a single mammalian species. Mm-hmm. They've observed evolution within species. But a new species, no one's ever been able to observe that or find fossil record of it.
Well, why do they try to suppress it? And that was the theme of your movie, Expelled, that this one man was...
How can anybody observe? How does he think evolution works? Is what I want to know. So you have a I have a dog at home, right? If my dog gives birth to puppies, they're going to be monkeys. Is that how he thinks evolution works? And nobody's observed that yet, so evolution can't be true. This guy's so goddamn dumb. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You should email him.
Oh, I'll get involved.
Expelled from a teaching
position. Oh, more position. Than one. Yeah. Dozens and dozens have been expelled or lost their grants or been humiliated for even mentioning the possibility that there could be an intelligent designer in the universe who created the universe and created the heavens and the earth. And I think people want to suppress the idea of an intelligent designer, whom I call the intelligent designer mm-hmm. God, because they think if there's a God, I'm going to be held morally accountable.
Stop it. Okay, first
wait,
of all.
Wait a minute. When did he observe God?
He didn't. It's just what he calls it. He calls it God. So what he's saying is scientists are losing grants when they mention intelligent design. And if you ask me, John, if you start talking about intelligent design, you are no longer a scientist.
Right.
Because intelligent design is not a theory. Galileo taught us this, John. Galileo came up with the scientific method, John. He said, hey, I'm going to make some predictions here. I'm going to put together a theory. It's going to make predictions. My predictions are going to be testable and observable. Now we can talk about the realm of science. That is in the realm of science. Intelligent design, I don't know how to explain that, so it must be God. That is not a theory.
Right.
That is not testable.
Right.
That does not make predictions. You cannot make observations. What it is throwing your hands up in the air. When you do that, find another profession. That's why they're not giving grant money to these people.
Why? Yeah,
because there's no theory. There's nothing you can test. Let's give you a bunch of money to say it was just God. Then what? What are you going to do? Are you going to write a paper and say it was just God? No. I don't know what you're going to do.
No. No.
Goddamn joke. It's what it is.
Shit.
Here's what the great Stephen Hawking says. We just had him on the show. A theory is a good theory if it satisfies two requirements. It must accurately describe a large class of observations on the basis of a model which contains only a few arbitrary elements. And it must make definitive predictions about the results of future observations. And intelligent design does not do that. It is not a theory. That's why these scientists, once they start talking about it, their grant money gets removed.
Later. Yeah.
Because it's not science. Dumbass Ben Stein. Go ahead.
If there's no God, if it all happens by accident, random mutation, and natural selection, I'm not responsible. I'm just a creature of my genes. But if there's a God, I'm morally responsible. I'm in deep trouble here.
But this is pervasive.
What
the movie showed, pervasive right across the academia.
Oh, very pervasive. If you were to stand up, if you were, say, an assistant professor at Harvard, and you stood up and said, you know, we have no evidence for how life began. A perfectly reasonable hypothesis is that there is an intelligent designer who always was and always will be, and he created life. You would be out of there on your ear so fast it would be insane. Mm-hmm. If you were at a Ford Foundation grant and you said, We don't know how the planets stay in their orbits. We don't know how light beams began. We don't know how energy began. We don't know how matter began. A perfectly reasonable hypothesis is there's an intelligent designer. You'd lose your grant like that.
Can you stop it, please? If you stood up and said, I don't know how the planets revolve around the sun, you should be kicked out.
Yeah.
Because that's like high school physics.
But listen to how he gives an intelligent designer personhood by saying he.
Oh, right. Yeah. I guess.
I mean, that's ridiculous in of itself. Completely stupid.
Well, this guy's a total clown.
He.
A clown, John. Ben Stein. Dope.
It's a perfectly good explanation that he designed the universe.
Yeah, perfectly good. And
let's
and
hear
that's,
that again.
Okay.
A perfectly reasonable hypothesis is that there is an intelligent designer who always was and always will be, and he created life.
He created life.
He created life.
Hey, Ben, who created him?
He always was. Yeah, that's good.
That's great science, Ben.
They never answer that part of it.
Yeah, great science.
Genius, Ben. Dumb shit.
Genius.
Go back to Israel.
Genius.
That would be insane. If you were on a Ford Foundation grant and you said, we don't know how the planets stay in their orbits. We don't know how light beams began. We don't know how energy began. We don't know how matter began. A perfectly reasonable hypothesis is there's an intelligent designer. You'd lose your grant like that.
There is, you know,
why?
They said, well, we see that scientists created some test tubes and they put some amino acids and they played electricity on it and therefore we had some primitive cells. But
Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah. Yeah, see, Darwin never hypothesized about how life began. And he said, maybe, possibly there are organic elements and lightning struck them. That was the only thing he ever said. That was in a letter to someone. But people have run electricity through every kind of inorganic compound you can mention, and they never get life from it. Never, ever, ever. So that doesn't work. Life didn't come from a mud puddle. Life came, it seems fairly clear to me,
from Adam and Eve.
Designer.
Sure.
But I'm willing to agree. I could be wrong. I'm often wrong. I'm very often wrong. But give us free speech. Give us free speech. Don't fire
Stop it.
Us.
Stop it.
You are. You're speaking right,
right.
now.
You're
you
speaking
dickhead.
Right now, dumbass. And you got your stupid-ass movie going out there, which I hope nobody goes to. And if you do go to it and you like it, you're a goddamn dope.
Isn't that free speech right there?
That is free speech. But no, he wants free speech in college. See, he wants to teach the curriculum. He wants to dictate what gets taught.
It's called theology, stupid.
Right. Go to Oral Roberts. Right? Go to BYU.
Yeah, two gay guys named Bob. Oral Roberts.
Go there. Don't fuck with our other educational
system. Don't fuck
with us. We already got this other guy giving money to make Ayn Rand a requirement.
Oh, Jesus. What is the world coming to?
I have no idea.
What happened to the Enlightenment? We got this fucking dumbass, this guy.
We question a doctrine that doesn't even mention it. I mean, Darwin didn't mention astronomy. Darwin didn't mention physics. Why can't we question whether Darwinism accounts?
He almost slipped. Astrology.
He did slip.
I'm a Gemini.
Counts for those things too.
You can't be a true scientist unless you do.
You have to try to.
Oh, stop it! Stop it! So he's calling Darwin. He's not a true scientist.
You can't be a true scientist
because
unless you bring in the Lord.
His theory of evolution did not discuss the motion of the planets? These guys are idiots. You know, my mother watches Pat Robertson.
Oh.
That's nauseating. Go ahead, play the rest of the shit.
Own theory if you're a real scientist. Yeah.
Well, I hope this movie takes hold. You did a great job. Is it available in movies now?
It's going to be out on 1,000 screens April 18th.
April 18th.
Yes.
And the movie
I bet you
it
doesn't make it to
expelled,
a screen.
Expelled, no intelligence allowed.
Expelled, no intelligence allowed. That says it all. Man, thank you so
thank
much
Thank you
for
so
being
much. It's an honor being here. I love your show.
Oh, Jesus. I love your show.
Isn't Ben Stein Jewish?
Yeah.
Why does he love the 700 Club? Did he change? Is he now a Christian?
Who knows?
What's going on with him?
He's a
Why don't they
idiot.
Ask those types of questions? Let's get a real interview going here. Not some BS propaganda crap. These people don't even know how to frame a fucking argument. Dopes. Hey, here, let's do this, John.
He's a Bush lover, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a Bush lover. I mean, there's intelligence level right there. Let's go with his hypothesis. Let's say that there's an intelligent designer, John. And yeah. Let's call that intelligent designer God, as Ben Stein likes to call him.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, okay, what's the theory? Ask Ben Stein. So what's the theory? What predictions can be made? What tests can we execute?
I don't know.
What observations can support those predictions? What is it, Ben Stein? That's all somebody has to ask this dope. And he'll go, homina, 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 homina. And that's it. It's done. Yeah. It's over.
Yeah.
And let's say it really did happen. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe it did happen. But if there were an engineer, John, and God was that engineer,
yeah.
Did he really do the best job he could have?
No.
I mean,
99% of the species extinct.
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 Now, let's just talk about humans.
Galaxies humans. Collapsing on top of themselves, within themselves.
Black holes,
Black
John.
Holes.
Why is my jaw too small for all of my teeth? Huh? Why do I have to go to the dentist?
Yeah, right.
And Denzel can probably tell
it's
us about that.
It's a great fucking designer.
Why do I have to get teeth removed when I reach a certain age?
Right.
Huh?
Not only that. Dennis, open your mouth.
Why don't I have echolocation so I can navigate at night, John?
Huh? Right. Good point, yeah.
Why don't I have wings? I want to fly.
Yeah.
Why can't I have wings? Why can't I stay underwater for 4 hours at any depth? Huh? I want to do that. I can't do that.
Why can't I breathe in space?
But here's what seals the deal, John. Why do I get goat's ass?
Why do you get goat's ass?
I mean, if he was a true engineer,
right?
I would just clip that stuff off. I wouldn't even need toilet paper.
Yeah, you'd have like a blade that would just...
Yeah, whoosh, a blade and be done with
just
it.
Just like a guillotine would chop
Actually,
the shit
there,
right off.
When you think about it, there would be no shit whatsoever.
No. What would be the point? Like you did it right there.
Why would we even have to shit?
Yeah.
What kind of a designer makes a shit? Is what I want to know. A shitty one. That's what. An engineer that's not doing his job.
You know, Stein began his political career as a speechwriter and lawyer for the United States President Richard Nixon and later for President Gerald Ford.
Oh, did he write, "I'm not a crook"? Is that one of his lines?
Stein was one of many public figures speculated to have been deep throat. Stein responded over years.
It
by
wasn't
not...
for giving up names. It was for another reason.
He denied that he was deep throat. Some have called him Stein a Nixon apologist due to his fervent defense of Nixon's legacy. As recently as 2005 in the American Spectator, Stein said Nixon was a peacemaker. He was a lying, conniving, cover-up peacemaker. He was not a lying, conniving drug addict like JFK, a lying, conniving war starter like LBJ, a lying, conniving seducer like Clinton, a lying, conniving peacemaker, Scott.
There you go.
That's what Ben Stein said.
Well, in my opinion, this guy is the worst type of American. I mean, we already got the W. We got image issues all over the in the universe, John, because of the W being in charge. The guy's a goddamn dope, and it just reflects badly on us. Now we got this guy running around, the worst type of American.
Listen to this fuckhead, though. Stein is a pro-life activist and was given a pro-life award in 2003. In 2007, Stein chastised the police and the GOP leadership for their response to the Larry Craig scandal. Stein said that Craig's sexuality should be a non-issue. He says, "A party that believes in individual rights should be rallying to his defense, not making him walk the plank." So wait a minute. Individual rights, pro-life. What if you're, I understand that pro-life thing, but what about the person who decides that they for whatever reason, whether it be life-threatening, that they have to abort, terminate a pregnancy. Isn't that an individual right?
Well, obviously, this guy is not well thought out. He's a goddamn dope. I mean,
in a party of speaking of moral integrity and ethics and all that, it's got to be the biggest fucking bullshit party I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Lying, conniving, adulterers.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
This guy's a fucking joke.
Well, what, in, again, getting back to the worst of America, Ben Stein, he wants us to teach his beliefs, John.
Yeah. Fuck you, Ben Stein.
Because in his opinion, this other shit evolution doesn't seem right to him. But where does it stop? Like, hypothetically, let's take another hypothetical leap here, John. Using evolution, let's get rid of Darwinism and teach intelligent design in schools. Let's put tax dollars into that. Then what? We start teaching intelligent design. We start getting tax dollars behind that.
Sorry.
And then what's next? Creating public monuments based on the Ten Commandments?
Right.
And then, hey, you know what? Let's only teach the Bible in school. And you know what? Let's base laws on the Bible. How about that? And then what do you have, John? Then what do you have? A theocracy. That's what you have. You have a theocracy. Just like Iran.
Questions.
Just like Saudi Arabia. Is that the kind of country that Ben Stein wants? Huh?
Yeah.
Is that what he wants? Guy's a dick. Goddamn dick.
Creationists are portrayed as victims of discrimination for their beliefs by the scientific community, which has widely rejected intelligent design as pseudoscience.
Right on.
One of the pro-evolution scientists interviewed for Expelled claims that he was interviewed under false pretenses and assumes the quotes are edited in a way that misrepresents his original statements. Really? You think?
Duh.
Like every documentary, any Michael Moore, of course it's slanted.
Not catheter. That wasn't slanted.
No, not at all.
The rockumentary. There was no slant to that whatsoever.
No, Kevin's gay. He's gay. He's gay.
It's just a question. The viewers can make up their own mind.
And you edited parts out where you laughed.
Well, I didn't want to be a presence in the movie.
Yeah, but you affected the outcome of the interviewee.
How did I do that? How did I affect the
At
outcome?
At some point where Phil said something like, Marty is the most talented, and you laughed, but edited your part out, which made Phil laugh.
Right? Yeah. It was funny. Even Phil admitted it by laughing. He wasn't laughing at me. He was laughing
he was.
At what he
was
said.
Laughing at you.
No, he wasn't.
And then he laughed. But editing you out makes it sound like he was joking when he said that.
But the whole premise was I was not to be involved whatsoever, other than the camera. I edited out all the questions I asked. I let you guys speak for yourself. I was not. The only time I'm in there is at the very end in the outtakes, I think, when you directly asked me a question and I answered you.
What?
That's the only time, and that was only for comedic effect.
When
and
I
it was in the
question?
Outtakes. You said, are we done yet? Something like that.
Whatever, man. Twist it any way you want with
it
your documentary. Ben Stein will be saying the same shit.
Oh, BS. He's too dim-witted to say it.
The reason why I said that is over
He's too
my head.
Dim.
I'm going to go back.
All right, so get this.
To Jerusalem.
One of the guys that they interviewed.
Where God is my savior.
P.Z.
I don't believe in Jesus.
P.Z. Myers. That's an interesting name.
Myers.
He went to the movie. He went to the premiere.
Bullshit.
I went to attend a screening of the creationist propaganda movie Expelled a few minutes ago.
What?
Well, I tried, but I was expelled. It was kind of weird. I was standing in line, hadn't even gotten to the point where I had to sign in and show ID, and a policeman pulled me out of line and told me I could not go in. I asked why, of course, and he said that a producer of the film had specifically instructed him that I was not to be allowed to attend. The officer also told me that if I tried to go in, I would be arrested. I assured him that I wasn't going to cause any trouble. I went back to my family. I talked to them for a while, and then the officer came back with a theater manager. And I was told that not only wasn't I allowed in, but I had to leave the premises immediately.
Who is that?
Like right that instant. P.Z. Myers. He's a biologist. He's in this movie. He's in the movie.
And he's not allowed to see it.
Right. So he complied. Blah, 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 blah. Then they singled me out and evicted me, but they didn't notice my guest. They let him go in, escorted by my wife and daughter. I guess they didn't recognize him. My guest was Richard Dawkins. He's in the theater right now watching their movie.
Nice.
I went to Richard Dawkins' website today to see if he had any comments, but his website was down.
Really?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe something went out on Dig or something, or some other site, and drove a bunch of traffic to him. Or maybe he was sabotaged, John.
Sabotage.
Maybe it was sabotage. I bet you... Here's,
no, it's back up.
I bet you he doesn't... this movie, Expelled, I bet you it doesn't even get released on the big screen.
Really?
Yeah. What is it? Is it the end of March?
Yeah, no. It's,
we got a week left, and this is supposed to come out
April 18th, right?
So 3 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so much shit is going to come out in 3 weeks. Well, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, the 90% of this country is goddamn Christian.
Right.
So the audience is there. I take that back. It's probably going to get a big release. But will it... I'm sure it'll make money. It probably costs nothing to make. We should have made some shit like this, John.
Yeah, it's up. P.Z. Myers wrote the story from P.Z. Myers is on Dawkins' website. And there is a discussion on there on P.Z. Myers being expelled by Richard Dawkins and I believe P.Z. Myers on the richarddawkins.net.
Well, and it the movie Expelled, no intelligence allowed, and that's what happened.
Right.
They don't let him
allowed.
In.
Don't bring in the intelligence
You can't
people.
See our movie. What a goddamn joke, asswipes. They want freedom of speech, but they don't want people to, they don't want certain people to see their speech.
Dawkins wrote a little blog here, Lying for Jesus? The blogs are ringing with ridicule. Mark Mathis, duplicitous producer of the duplicitous. Is that the right word? No? Shut up.
I don't think any of those are right.
Duplicitous producer of the much-hyped film Expelled shot himself in the foot so spectacularly that the phrase might have been invented for him. Goals don't come more own than this. How is it possible that a man who makes his living from partisan propaganda would hand so stunning a propaganda coup to his opponents, hand it to them on a plate, so ignominiously and so unnecessarily.
What the hell's wrong with Richard Dawkins? Doesn't he know he's writing to a second grade
yeah,
audience?
Yeah, there's no way I could read this shit.
Yeah, so look out for that in
yeah,
theaters
so he,
near you.
Oh, he has a long-ass fucking Jesus Christ.
Expelled. No intelligence allowed. And I hope
wow.
this destroys Ben Stein's career. I don't know how anybody takes him seriously
Wrong.
Now.
Wrong. No deal.
Guy talks like he's
Wrong.
Got shit in his mouth.
Chill out, dickwad. Stop whining.
Yeah, I got to have a conversation with my mom about
Fuck
Pat
you.
Robertson.
Yeah, no doubt, man. What's
you know,
up
she
with
was
that?
Into Jim Baker.
Jim Baker?
Yeah, Jim and Tammy Faye.
Oh, Jesus.
She got a Christmas card from them. I said, Mom, what is this? What is this? And she, the reason she got it is because she sent them money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, check this out. What do we got here? We got do you hear about this whole Clinton thing?
Hey, man, you're getting into politics? I still got science.
Come on, let's go, man. We're at an hour 40.
I got a lot of science news.
I got to go to bed.
What makes a tightwad, John?
You.
Yeah, it's too long of a story. Let me get through that. let's see. Oh, get this. Believers are happier than atheists.
What?
People who believe in God are happier than agnostics or atheists, researchers claimed yesterday. A report that found that religious people are better able to cope with disappointments such as unemployment or divorce than non-believers. Moreover, they become even happier and the more they pray and go to church, claims a study by Professor Andrew Clark and Dr. Ursula Leckles. Using data from Britain and Europe, the study found believers enjoyed higher levels of satisfaction and suffered less psychological damage from unemployment, divorce, and the death of a partner.
Yeah, who is this effing guy?
I have no idea, but it reminds me of Forrest Gump. We talked about Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
If you're so goddamn dimwitted, you don't really, you know, you're happy all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I say, John.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I know. That's what you're saying. If you don't know what this, you're just happy.
Yeah, you're just happy all the time. I don't care. I just lost my job. I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I'm only here temporarily. I'll be walking with God eternally, forever.
Well, it just makes people more. It makes it easier to sin, too.
Well, yeah, because
you can ask for forgiveness.
Well, that's set up for that.
The way out.
I have to sin. Jesus says everybody sins.
I'm only human.
Yeah, human.
I have this argument with the born-agains all the time, you know. Yeah, well, what about this? You know, you just say, hey, please forgive me, you know, for I have sinned. And they'll say, well, I'm only human.
Human.
And I'll say, well, that's true. But, you know, if you let down, you get rid of this whole God and Jesus thing, then you're left with reality. The fact that there is no second chance. There is no asking for forgiveness except for the people that you fuck over. You fuck people over and then you ask God for forgiveness. That makes a whole lot of goddamn sense.
According to Ben Stein, with no God, we have no morality.
Since when is morality running around? It's immoral to believe in God because you get punished if you don't do the good stuff. Here's a list of things you got to do. And if you don't do them, you're going to be punished. We're going to beat you and we're going to put you and torture you in the lake of fire for all eternity. So make sure you check off this list every day and you do everything on this list correctly or else.
When you put it that way, it is immoral. It's immoral that the W uses fear to strip our civil liberties and make people frightened and giving up their civil liberties. And the same thing is how religion works. It's immoral.
Right. It's immoral.
All right, John. Well, moving on to science news in the universe, John. I found this story so goddamn fascinating. I don't even know if you heard this, John. Did you hear this?
No.
A powerful stellar explosion detected on March 19th by NASA's Swift satellite has shattered the record for the most distant object that could be seen with the naked eye. You hear this?
I'm listening.
The explosion was a gamma ray burst. Most gamma ray bursts occur when massive stars run out of nuclear fuel. Their cores collapse to form black holes or neutron stars. But get this, John. This burst was a whopper, said Neil Gerrels of NASA.
A whopper.
It blows away every gamma ray burst we've seen so far.
Wow.
Oh, this is funny. The Very Large Telescope in Chile. That's its name, the Very Large Telescope.
Shut up.
I'm serious. The Very Large Telescope They couldn't even come up with a name, so they said
the VLT.
Let's call it the Very Large Telescope.
It's like a BLT, but it's a VLT.
And the Hubby Eberle Telescope. See, they gave it a name, and I fucked it up.
Wait a minute. The Hubble Eberle
Telescope in Texas measured the burst's redshift at 0.94.
Whoa.
Now, John, a redshift is a measurement of the distance to the object, and we can thank Edwin Hubble for that. A redshift of 0.94 translates into a distance of 7.5 billion, John, billion light years, meaning the explosion took place 7.5 billion years ago.
Wow.
A time when the universe was less than half its current age and the Earth had yet
to form. Wait a minute. I thought it was 2,000 years. That's all we were.
No, 6,000.
Or 5,000.
6,000 is what the creationists say. Oh. Right.
Whatever, 2, 6.
So get that, man. This explosion occurred 7.5 billion light years ago. It's visible to the naked eye. And when it occurred, the Earth didn't even exist.
Wow.
The Earth took 3 million years to form after this explosion. And that's something we could see with our naked eye. That is unbelievable,
John. Did you see
that
test on... maybe it was YouTube. I don't remember the guy. This guy who shows that the brain could slow down time when under massive stress.
Oh, it's based on perception.
Work stuff out,
right?
So as and yesterday I was watching like a car crash on TV, and the guy who was flipping around the car, he said it felt like it was flipping around for an hour.
Yeah, we're going to have to get that worked out. That is really unprofessional.
I think it's a bad tube on the compressor. It might not even show up on the recording.
Oh, so that'll
you're
be even better.
Laughing and talking about it.
And nobody else can hear it. We'll have to do post-production then.
Yeah.
And put some fart noises in.
Nice.
Now, previous to this, the farthest observable object with the naked eye was 2.9 million light years from Earth.
Wow.
I didn't see it. I wonder if anybody saw it.
Me either.
Somebody had to see it. But if they did, they saw something that occurred 7.5 billion light years ago.
Are you telling me
this
sucker is nuclear?
Billion years ago.
Billion.
Billion years, not light years. Billion years ago. It took a billion light years for it to reach us, you see. Out of sight. You want to hear about UFOs?
Was it Ben Stein, the one who said Bueller?
Bueller? Ben Stein was one of the teachers.
Anyone? Anyone? Anyone?
Maybe. That could have been him.
I think so.
You want to hear about UFOs?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Is the world's fascination with the possibility of UFOs and more is more of a religion or a natural intuitive sense that life is out there based on current scientific research and recent planet search discoveries? One of the world's preeminent astrophysicists and weed smokers, Carl Sagan, believe that the interest in
unidentified flying objects
derives
perhaps not so much from scientific curiosity as from unfulfilled.
Is he the Pope?
Religious needs.
John, the modern UFO era and the birth of the extraterrestrial hypothesis began on June 24th, 1947, when Kenneth Arnold, flying his private plane near Mount Rainier in Washington, reported 9 disc-shaped objects flying in formation at speeds estimated to be over 1,000 miles per hour. Arnold, a respected businessman and deputy U.S. Marshal, was taken seriously, and his description of the objects as flying like a saucer if you skipped it across the water led to newspapers to coin the term flying saucer. The alien hypothesis first officially emerged in 1948, with the Air Force Project Sign, which concluded that UFOs were of extraterrestrial origin. And the report was later declassified and burned by General Hoyt Vandenberg. John, if UFOs do exist, how do they traverse the universe? According to conventional wisdom, one can only travel through time in a linear fashion at no faster than the speed of light. At that rate, it would take millions of years to traverse the universe, and who has the time for that?
No doubt.
If there's a way to manipulate space and time curvatures, then we have all the time we need. So what current theory is the most likely to someday satisfactorily explain the science of UFOs? Stephen Hawking, John, who was on our show, gave a lecture which discussed the possibility of wormholes in folding space. The implications of human travel through these wormholes could result in shortcutting through vast distances and even time itself. According to this idea, one could even move faster than the speed of light. Professor Hawking puts it this way. If you could travel from one side of the galaxy to the other in a week or two, you could go back through another wormhole and arrive back before you set out. Huh?
Yeah.
While a bit unfathomable, a similar type of time travel has already been demonstrated by John and Scott
right.
of Total Talk Nonsense, but have yet to be studied by scientists. So we got a mention in this article. So what is a wormhole? Simply put, masses that place pressure on different parts of the universe could eventually come together to form a tunnel. There you have it. So they're still working out time traveling. We already got it figured out, John. But we are terrestrial time travelers. We cannot travel to other parts of the universe because we based our time travel on a 1968 Pontiac. So we are
right.
We are bound
right.
to Earth. In related news, this is a story that just came out today, John. This is out of the Russian paper Pravda. I think that's Russian, isn't it? Pravda?
Yeah.
Aliens downed Tunguska meteorite to protect our planet from devastation, stated Russian scientist Yuri Lavbin.
No way.
Yeah. He showed 10 quartz crystals that he found at the place of the meteorite's crash. Several of the crystals have holes in between so they can be united in a chain. How about that? Huh?
Wow.
Now, if you don't know what Tunguska is, am I pronouncing that right? Tunguska, you need to watch Ghostbusters because they tell you what it is.
What is it?
Tunguska. In 1908, there's a meteorite that was heading towards the Earth. It weighed a billion tons, whatever that is. If the meteorite fell down on the Earth, all the people would have died, but the aliens interfered and put their lives to save our land. A strange portrait of a strange person on one of the stones proves this hypothesis. So apparently, not only did the aliens sacrifice themselves to destroy this meteorite before it hit Earth, they had time to carve the story of that into crystals, which were later found at the crash site. Now, this is out of a very well-respected newspaper in Russia, John, but I just don't buy it. I don't buy it at all.
What is it called? Tunguska?
Tunguska. T-U-N-G-U-S-K-A. In 1908, in Siberia, a 40-kilometer area was virtually wiped clean. All life, all trees, everything was devastated because of an explosion that occurred.
Yeah, I thought they tied that to, what's his name? Tesla.
Tesla?
Yeah.
Tesla wasn't even around in 1908. Come on, man.
You sure?
Yeah. I think.
Yeah, he was.
What did Tesla have to do with that? He wasn't even there.
He invented some sort of machine that could shoot like a radio wave.
And it was Tesla that's responsible for Tunguska? Well, this guy says he has the evidence to prove it was aliens that sacrificed themselves to save our planet. How about that, John?
It's nice.
How about that?
It's out of sight.
All right, let's turn to politics. What do you got? Politics.
I thought it was Tunguska. I'm looking up the Tunguska. Tunguska.
They talk about it in Ghostbusters.
The Tunguska event, man. Don't cross the streams.
No, they don't talk about it then.
They don't?
Dan Aykroyd talks about it. He talks about the paranormal activity hasn't been this high since the Tunguska blast in 1908.
It says here, friendship Lena blew up in 1907. Electrical experts were sought by the press for an explanation. Many thought the explosion was caused by an electrical spark, and the discussion was about the origin of the ignition. Lee DeForest, inventor of the Audion vacuum tube adopted by many radio broadcasters, pointed out that Nikola Tesla had experimented with a dirigible torpedo, D-I-R-I-G-I-B-L-E.
Isn't that the same dirigible word you were having trouble with?
No, dirigible before? Torpedo, capable of what?
Nothing, man.
It's either dirigible or dirigible. Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing, man.
Capable of delivering such destructive power to a ship through remote control. He noted, though, Tesla also claimed that the same technology used for remotely controlling vehicles could also project an electrical wave of sufficient intensity to cause a spark in a ship's magazine and explode it.
Whoa.
And at some point here, they connect Tesla to the Tunguska.
Tunguska.
It was a Tunguska?
Yeah, Tunguska. Yeah.
Tunguska. I told you it was fucking Tesla.
Yeah, Tesla had nothing to do with it. It was a goddamn meteor.
Okay.
All right.
It was the aliens.
No, the aliens had nothing to do with it either.
The nature of the Tunguska event also is consistent with what would happen during the sudden release of wireless power. No fiery object was reported in the skies at the time by professional or amateur astronomers.
Wouldn't they all be
dead?
As
would be expected when a 200 million pound object enters the atmosphere at tens of thousands of miles per hour. Also, the first reporters from the town of Tomsk to reach the area judged the stories about a body falling from the sky was the result of the imagination of an impressionable people. He noted there was considerable noise coming from the explosion, but no stones fell. The absence of an impact crater can be explained by there having been no material body to impact. An explosion caused by broadcast power would not leave a crater.
Broadcast power.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. Now, Einstein came around in 1915 and gave us E equals MC squared, which led to the atomic bomb in the 40s. But you're telling me Tesla created the power in 1908.
Yeah.
Uncontrolled
or
controlled?
He had it, man. He built that power station, and they destroyed it because Rockefeller or somebody, whoever gave him the money for it, they found out that he was going to use this wireless power to power people's homes for free. And they said, wait a minute, no, we can't do that. No free shit. We have to charge for this. And he was like, no, I want to save people money. I want to make something that helps people. And they said, no, you're a nut job. Fucking tear this fucking thing down. We're not giving you a goddamn penny.
Yeah, but if he couldn't harness the stuff, who wants that control
nobody
and the power
knows.
In their house?
Nobody knows. He lost the money.
Well, if I don't understand. If he's responsible for Tunguska, obviously something was going on. Now, was that a controlled detonation or was it not?
I don't know. I don't think so.
It was an accident.
It's a hypothesis. There's no There's no grounds. They have an area where he built this device. They say supposedly that some guy, when he was up in the polar, you know, up in the North Pole area, saw this flash of light or some shit like that go overhead. And in, I don't know, 1908 or 1909, and then right afterwards was Tunguska, and they can draw a straight line from Long Island to, I'm sure you can do that anywhere, but they could draw a line from Long Island to Tunguska, which goes almost directly over the North Pole.
Okay.
And supposedly it was witnessed. I don't know,
so
man.
So that's where Tesla...
Look it up. Read the fucking story.
Was that at the time? He was in where?
What's your story? That a fucking meteorite exploded above the Earth?
Yeah.
Yeah? Where's your proof of that? It was controlled?
No, it was uncontrolled. You can't control when meteorites hit the Earth. What are you talking about?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, you don't know.
I don't.
That's
neither
obvious.
Do you, dumbass.
I think my explanation is a little more plausible
than
Tesla. Yeah, some
aliens zapped it out of the air to save our
lives.
I
didn't say that was my explanation. That's what some guy out of Russian Pravda said.
Well, what's your explanation?
I said that I think that's a bunch of hooey.
How does a meteor explode over the Earth?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, come on. That's your explanation.
It was something from outer space, came through the atmosphere. And cracked up.
Something.
It exploded.
Like
yeah.
What? How did it explode?
I don't know. What can come from the atmosphere? We don't know what 96% of the matter in the universe is. We don't even know what it is. Maybe it's one of those things. Maybe it's dark energy. Maybe it's
okay,
dark matter.
Whatever.
Maybe it was a black hole.
You know what? Maybe it was God.
Maybe it was a black
it
hole
God.
The size of a tennis ball.
I think Ben Stein is right. I think Ben Stein is right. Because you're ridiculous. You sound completely redunculous.
Ridiculous. Maybe it was a black hole the size of a tennis ball, huh? Maybe it was that.
Maybe your black hole is the size of a tennis ball.
Or a ping pong ball. And then it exploded. Something exploded 7.5 billion years ago, and we got to see it with our naked eyes if you were looking in the right direction.
Right.
I mean, crazy shit happens in the universe.
Yeah, according to some guy who measures redshift and there's whatever.
Oh, that's well established, John.
Yeah, really well.
Well established by Edwin Hubble.
Yeah.
And matches Friedman's models. The great Russian mathematician Friedman. Who died in war before he got to enjoy the fruits of his labor.
Nice.
Using Einstein's theory of general relativity. So, all right, so there you have it. I'm finished with science news.
It's about
Sorry
time.
I brought it up about
Jesus
Tunguska.
Christ. Hey, man, I'm just telling you that there's some alternative hypothesis of what happened.
Yeah, Tesla.
And you didn't research it enough.
Tesla. It was him.
If it wasn't for Tesla... You wouldn't be fucking having light in your house, you dummy.
I'm fine with that. I could use candles. I could be like Little House on the Prairie.
No, you'd be using battery power because of that dumbass Edison.
Tell you this, we wouldn't have a podcast.
That's right.
That's right.
Wouldn't have fucking
Tesla.
Radio either.
Yeah. But it was Tesla who created the Tunguska Blast in 1908. It was him. Yeah,
that's what it
great.
Says here, man. Tesla's wireless power transmitter and the Tunguska explosion of 1908. Read it and weep. Look it up, man.
I will. I'm going to go right home and do that.
Details
no, honey, I can't
of the diabolical ray's destructive power surfaced that August, Scott.
Wow.
Not some fucking falling rock from the sky that, oh, all of a sudden it blew up. Some black hole the size of a tennis ball.
Ping pong ball.
Whatever. Ping pong. Oh, now it's a ping pong
Maybe
ball.
Maybe it's dark energy.
If it's dark energy, it'd be the size of a pinhead.
How do you know?
Like yours.
How do you know?
I don't know. How do you
joke?
Know?
A pinhead like mine? What?
How do you know? How do you know? All right, yeah, let's get to this bullshit shit here.
Yeah, it's politics. politicians, man. What a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
The U.S. dollar's value is dropping so fast against the euro
our way of life.
That small currency outlets in... Hey, hey W, clam up, man. Hey, what's going on? Hello?
Hello?
Dropping so fast against the euro that small currency outlets in Amsterdam are turning away tourists seeking to sell their dollars.
That's great, huh?
For local money while vacationing in the Netherlands. Isn't that great, W? Thanks. Thanks, W.
Thanks, cocksmoker.
We can't even give our money to the people in Amsterdam to get a goddamn euro. They're like, hey, we don't need it. That's worthless to us. That is dropping so quickly in value that we give you a half a euro today, but tomorrow we're out. It might be worth a quarter of a euro tomorrow. So F off.
How about the shit going on with the GOP talk radio?
Talk.
The conservative talk radio telling Republicans to vote for Clinton to be the next.
Yeah, I heard that was against the law.
What's against the law?
That kind of voter manipulation.
Why would it be against the law?
I read that somewhere. That
if people
fucking
do it, why would... I don't understand how that could be against the law.
I just read that somewhere. I didn't bring any detail in, but I heard that they were thinking of going after Rush Limbaugh.
That's ridiculous.
For breaking the law. Breaking
the law. Who's going to go after him?
Who
Obama?
Knows? Nobody.
Here's the thing that's going to... That's gonna. What are they gonna do when they've been listening to Rush? Vote Hillary in as the primary candidate, and then she wins.
Yeah.
What are they gonna do? What Rush? We did what you told us to do.
Yeah.
We can't think on our own. We need some big fat fuck drug addict to tell us what to do.
Well, isn't that the huge problem with the country? That people will listen to what he says? It's unbelievable to me. Rush.
How about this now? We hit the 4,000 soldier milestone. 4,000 killed in Iraq now.
5 years, 4,000.
5 years. And here's what Cheney has to say when a interviewer asks him about the fact that two-thirds of the country... you know, are against this whole war.
Two-thirds of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
So? You don't care what the Americans...
So.
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 So. So.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And he's got this fucking smirk on his face.
We talk about impeachment all the time. Just this statement alone, he should be impeached. Does he have no idea what government is for and what it's about?
Well, wrapping up a 9-day overseas trip in Iraq, Vice President Dick Cheney was asked in an exclusive interview with ABC about the effect on the nation of today's grim milestone of at least 4,000 U.S. deaths over the 5-year Iraq war. Noting the burden placed on the military families, the vice president said, "The biggest burden is carried by the president." And reminded ABC News that U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan volunteered for duty.
That is so goddamn nauseating to me that the W is carrying the biggest burden.
The W and fucking Cheney, who's a draft dodger.
Well, you know, the
didn't volunteer 1 minute of service, the big fucking cocksucker.
The 4,000, there's more than 4,000. 4,000 are only if they die in Iraq. What they were doing for a long time was if somebody was critical or close to death, they were getting their ass out of the country as soon as they could because then it doesn't count as a war casualty.
Right.
Who knows how they count it, but it's not a death caused by war if the person doesn't die in Iraq. So who knows how many people are really American soldiers have been killed in this nonsense, John. In the 4,000, 97% occurred after
Mission accomplished.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
40,000 wounded Americans. This is the Pentagon telling us. We don't even know. It could be more than that. 5 years and nearly 90,000 Iraqi civilian deaths. That's the Pentagon. Now, we know there's other numbers that are out there.
It's got to be higher than 90,000.
5 years and nearly 5 million. 5 million. 35% of Iraqi children are orphans. 5 years and nearly 4 million Iraq refugees.
For what?
Nowhere
John?
To go.
For what?
For I don't know. It's
democracy, right? Yeah, for democracy. We're spreading
democracy. We're fighting them over there, so we don't have to fight them over here.
Oh, right, that's the other excuse, yeah.
Yeah. The most difficult number to grasp, Sat, is that on March 19th.
Call me Sat.
Sat, yes.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry, Sat. You don't like to be called Sat?
No, I don't like that. All right. I don't like it at all.
Jesus. March 19th at a cost of, what is this number? 1, 2, 3, 6, 9, 12 zeros.
That's a lot.
$3 Brazilian. The Bush administration said it would run about $50 million. Hey, that's with, what's, 6 zeros?
6 zeros.
Yeah. 50 million.
Yeah.
This is 12 zeros. So this is three trillion.
Yeah.
To find zero weapons of mass destruction. That's the Pentagon's number, Scott. And zero Iraq and Al-Qaeda connections, which is also the Pentagon's numbers. We have suffered nearly 4,000 American soldiers' death, not numbers, men and women.
Yeah, it's just goddamn ridiculous. So let's go ahead and play some of these clips now on the five-year anniversary. Let's start with... five-year Cheney dummy.
Do you think the American people are prepared for a long, costly, and bloody battle with significant American casualties?
Well, I don't think it's likely to unfold that way, Tim.
It could last, 6 days, 6 weeks. I doubt 6 months.
Well, he was right. It didn't last six
right.
months.
Lasted five, six
so far.
Years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking shit.
What's the W have to say about it?
The decision to remove Saddam Hussein was the right decision early in my presidency. It is the right decision at this point in my presidency, and it will forever be the right decision.
Okay. So after he was removed, why didn't we just come home? Nobody's debating that. Everybody say, okay, great, you did it. So it's over. Mission accomplished, remember? What happened?
I don't know. I say keep Saddam. He's the only one who knew how to rule that country.
His head almost right. ripped off.
So I don't think it's the right decision. We should have kept Saddam there. Kept him. He's the only one who could rule the country there.
How about McCain? Did you hear fucking McCain?
McCain.
Yeah.
No, I did not.
Here's what McCain, I pulled this off of Talking Points Memo TV.
Yeah.
And this is, McCain is over in the Middle East, and he's with Lieberman, Joe Lieberman. And he's talking about Al-Qaeda and Iran. Which is completely fucked up because they're mortal enemies. And he needs to be corrected by Elmer Fudd. And what's great is when the Fox commentary people start
spinning it,
and Britt Hume says something
of
pretty
course,
interesting about
Britt Hume.
About his age, which I thought was something that I think everybody needs to take note of.
Al-Qaeda is going back into Iran and receiving training and are coming back into Iraq from Iran.
The Iranians were training Al-Qaeda.
The Iranians are training extremists, not Al-Qaeda.
That was John McCain with a little help from his friends correcting a mistake he made while visiting the Middle East this week.
I think it's probably just a blip, but the mistake nonetheless raises not a question about his knowledgeability. We all kind of believe that he has that. The question perhaps about his age, which is an issue. You know, he might, I mean, the feeling was not that he's a dope, didn't know his way around it, but that he might have had kind of a senior moment there.
John McCain gets his Sunnis and his Shiites.
Yeah. Here's a guy who, okay, he's trying to be the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, if you will.
It's just a blip.
Just a blip, a senior moment. Okay, the guy doesn't know the difference between Shiite and Sunni, and he, you know, and I'm sure he's tired. He's on the road. He's got jet lag and all that.
He's not a dope.
He's not a dope, but he comes out and he's and the one thing that he really should fucking have studied and focused on is the economy and the fucking war that's going on there. So anything regarding the Middle East, you better be well spoken. Not talking about Iran is training Al-Qaeda and then sending them back over to Iraq. They're enemies.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think anybody could be as goddamn stupid as the W, but McCain is showing that he could be one of those people.
Straight talk express.
Plus, he talks with a lisp.
Yeah, he's fucked up, man.
And what's with Brit Hume? Who says knowledgeability? Who says that?
Knowledgeability and a senior moment. So when you say senior moment, do you want the guy with his finger on the button to have a senior moment?
Right.
You don't want that.
And when you think about senior
moments,
we
don't want an old fogey. We've had enough old white men in the office, in the oral office.
Also, when you think about senior moments, don't you think about bowel movements and the pens? Yeah. Is that what you want to envision? Is the commander in chief somebody wearing Depends that has to be inaugurated in Depends?
Depends, Scott.
Not me.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what we'll do if McCain is voted president. I will be so goddamn disgusted in the United States of America.
Oh, we'll probably go to jail.
for having
a podcast.
You think right away or take a couple of years?
It'll take a week or so.
Straight Talk Express.
Straight Talk Express. I'm going to get that John and Scott.
Those fuckers.
Saying
that's, I wear the pants. Fuck that.
What I want is that Barack goes up against McCain because you know he's going to say the N-word. He's going to lose it. He's known for his bad temper.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna call Barack the N-word.
You think so?
Yeah.
That would be funny.
It would be.
You think it would kill his election or not?
Well, I tell you what, man. Right now, you got Barack, and he's got Richardson as his supporter, and there's all this mudslinging going on, calling him Judas from
Clinton had him
Carmel.
At the house watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And now he's with Barack and talking trash.
Because he knows that if Barack becomes the nominee, that Richardson has a good chance to be VP.
Really? Richardson?
Yeah.
Oh.
He's got the Mexican vote, man.
Well, why wouldn't that be the same for Hillary?
Maybe she didn't talk about it. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, Barack's got to get over this Reverend hump.
Yeah, no doubt, man.
What a hump he is. And the whole thing is so goddamn calculated. So he's going to this church for 20 years. He brings his family to this church. I mean, in my opinion, this guy is the Reverend's a racist.
Yeah.
Obama is a Mac Daddy.
And only when he's running for president does he decide to distance himself from this guy.
Yeah.
His personal spiritual advisor. And there's a problem there.
Well, he's not his political advisor.
I understand that, but it's like having a guy from the KKK be my personal spiritual advisor. Oh, now I'm running for office. I need to distance myself from him.
Not unless he's a reverend.
Well, you put reverend in front and you can say whatever you want?
Yeah. Look at Pat Robertson.
Oh, that's true.
Look at, what's his name? John and Scott are a bunch of God-hating fags or whatever.
If we ever did run for president, we'd have to get that guy's backing.
No doubt.
Fred Phelps.
Fred Phelps.
Fred Phelps.
Obama is a Mac Daddy. Obama pimps white women and black women.
That's not
That's not Obama's personal spiritual advisor.
This is
Do you really need a personal spiritual advisor? I question that as well. Is that really necessary?
I don't think so. I don't know. I don't know. Whoa.
All right, man, let me get the door.
Come on back.
Man, you should get a sniff button.
Why? Hey, when you got a cold, you never go hungry.
Hungry? You never go hungry?
Hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. How you doing, Phil? Yeah. You got your shit ready? He's still getting his shit together.
What's your fucking point?
We're on 222, man.
He's only got...
We doing a three-hour show tonight?
No, he's got a couple things. All right, Phil, whenever you're ready.
Well, of course, Scott, I'm always ready, as you know.
John, it's good to see you again. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You can see me?
Yes. I can see you.
How can you see me?
I see you all the time.
I'm in the other room.
I know.
What are you doing, man? You got a wallet size or something you're looking at?
I have a undeniable image of your madliness etched into my memory.
Okay.
The fuck you waiting for, bitch? Start sucking. Boom!
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, child. At our first story tonight. Preacher must have really pissed off God. The wife of a prominent Montgomery County pastor told deputies that her husband was apparently killed by a goat. He was trying to return to a fenced-in area near the State Highway 13 home. The Reverend Liston Richardson, 76, pastor of Sunnyview Independent Missionary Baptist Church, was found dead by his wife, Lucille, after he didn't return home for some time. Mrs. Richardson told Deputy David Johnson she found her husband lying on the ground. The rope used to tie the goat wrapped around Mr. Richardson's neck and feet. She said she noticed he wasn't breathing. But when she tried to get near her husband, the goat tried to attack her.
It was a tragic accident,
said Denny, who knew Mrs. Richardson and Mr. Richardson.
He was a wonderful man of God.
The goat was later shot, Denny said. Next story, John. In another landmark study, John, scientists show that men prefer to eat meat and poultry, while women prefer fruits and vegetables. Next story, John. Mother of the Year candidate yells, flips off another mother at church daycare. A 35-year-old woman was arrested for disorderly conduct when she extended her middle finger and yelled obscenities at another woman outside a church playground. She was intoxicated, smelled of alcohol, and had urinated on herself. According to Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office arrest report, she was also trying to pick up her child from daycare. When the woman saw another mother and a juvenile walking across the parking lot, she lifted up her right hand and gave her the middle finger and yelled, expletive, expletive, and you whore, according to the March 13th report. She was arrested for outraging the sense of public decency, a deputy wrote. The charge is a misdemeanor. Next story, John.
Nice.
Now this next story, John, I sent you an audio clip. Are you ready to have the audio clip queued up?
Oh, yeah.
I will give you the headline, and after the headline, you can go ahead and play the audio clip. Are you ready? The headline, John. Cock on top of block causes stir. Go ahead and
now
play the clip.
To tonight's strange stories, and we do want to warn you that this first one may not be appropriate for children. That's because there is a massive phallic symbol painted on top of a valley rooftop. Is it art, an eye-popping eyesore, or just a big practical joke? The drawing sits on a rooftop of a house near 36th Street in Shea in North Phoenix. New at 6, as Melissa Gonzalo tells us, those living in the neighborhood have mixed reaction to the jaw-dropping display.
It's only visible from above. Sky 12 capturing these images of a male sex organ painted on a roof. We've blurred the video. Neighbors on this North Phoenix street saying they had no idea it was there, seeing video of it for the first time in our live truck this morning.
Oh, wow. What the hell?
Well, that was a little eye-opener. It was like I hit a coffee or something in the face. So I'm like, penis on the roof. I was like, huh? Are you serious?
Some were offended.
I can't believe anybody would do that.
I just find it very derogatory. I'm sorry.
The homeowner saying it was all a joke his band members played on him during his bachelor party last October. Ryan Walker claiming he's just finding out now.
Yeah, I think it's hilarious. I mean, if you woke up and the news is at your house and you had a giant penis on your roof, what would you think?
Ryan's next-door neighbor doesn't mind.
They can have anything they want on their roof. I'm not looking at it.
Ryan saying America needs a story like this right now.
With the economy, with the Bear Stearns thing that happened today, why not a giant penis on the roof?
Yeah. All right, John.
The deputy police chief says 6 officers were killed, including the district's top cock. Top cock after...
And our next story, John. Remind me never to go to Germany for a surgical procedure. Woman goes for leg operation, gets new rectum instead.
Oh.
Rectum? Damn near killed him.
Her.
A German retiree is taking a hospital to court after she went for a leg operation.
Rector.
And got a new anus instead. The woman woke up to find she had been mixed up with another patient suffering from incontinence, who was to have surgery on her sphincter. The clinic in Hoffranken, Bavaria.
She told us the story last week.
Has since suspended the surgical team. Now the woman is planning to sue the hospital. She still needs the leg operation and is searching for another hospital to do it. Next story, John. Attorneys argue over whether or not a man is fit to stand trial for sexual assault. This appears unlikely. Because he's 91. And if that's not enough, he's been dead for a month. Case closed. Next story, John. Saudi Arabia to teach its 40,000 imams, moderation in hopes that Islam can change. In related news, this comes a week after one of those imams called for beheadings for those who think Islam can change. Next story, John. This is a PSA for lawyers. Any lawyers in the listening audience? This is a PSA for you. When attempting to defend your DUI client, do not simulate sex acts while making eye contact with the judge. An Austin defense lawyer was jailed last week after being accused of making a lewd gesture at a judge while in court representing a client on charges of driving while intoxicated. Adam Raposa, 33, was held in contempt of court. By court at law Judge Jan Bredlin for his intentional and contumacious conduct during the court's review of a plea bargain offer to his client before trial. Raposa, who could not be reached for comment, made a simulated masturbatory gesture with his hand while making eye contact with the court in response to an objection by the state to his interference with the court plea bargain.
Plea bargaining.
Raposa has since been released, and in related news, released his wad. Next story, John. 1 in 3 children in Britain thinks Winston Churchill was the first man to walk on the moon. And more frighteningly, 3 out of 4 can't identify the moon in the sky.
What?
In related news, based on the TTN forums, 4 out of 5 Brits think soccer is not, I repeat, is not a pussy sport. In our next and last story, John. A British couple has won $5 million in the lottery. Or would that be 5 million pounds? Whatever it is, quid. They won 5 million of it.
Quid.
You know what they plan to do, John?
What?
They plan to buy teeth to eat food with. George and Alice Wass have no gnashers between them and can't chew food. The only luxuries they now plan are two new sets of dentures and a top-notch $70,000 mobile home at a waste disposal site where George is a $100 a week night watchman.
Wow.
I'm sorry, £100 a week night watchman.
Wow.
George, 63, said, We're fine living on a tip, and I don't see why that should change. We're looking to buy one of these mobile bungalows, a double wide. The only other present is a set of gnashers. Alice, 61, added, We live on soup. It would be nice to eat something else for a change. We'll probably get new glasses, too. And that's the news, John.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Scott. Always a pleasure. Sorry the newscast was a little bit... Oh, I'll be leaving now. Sorry it was a little bit shortened.
Bye-bye.
Next week.
Get out.
I hope to see you soon. All right, then. Happy Easter. Wow. He really got up and out of here.
He was in a big
Fast.
Hurry for
big
some
hurry.
Reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right, that's all we have.
Episode 124,
week.
John.
Episode 124.
Mark it on your calendar, July 3rd.
No doubt.
Beacon Tap, Thursday night. The yeah. band will be back.
Yeah.
Right on, John.
For another concert. We're out of here. I'm not Scott.
And I am not John.
Later.
You're listening to John and Scott. On Total Talk Nonsense.